Good morning to everyone. It's a nice wintry day. God's laid something in my heart for today, and we're going to get into the Word. Just look at the media screen for the translation or paraphrase that I use to bring out the truth that I want to bring across to you. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, your blessing, your anointing upon each and every one of us. Upon the word as it goes forth, we know it will not return void. Amen. All right, our first scripture today in the Lord our banner, Exodus 17, 13 through 16. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner, he said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of God. Now, in the Hebrew, that word, the Lord, our banner, is Jehovah Nissi. But we're just going to concentrate on the Lord, our banner, today. Psalm 60, verse 4 says, but you have raised a banner for those who fear you, a rallying point to the face of attack. And because of the Lord, our banner, we can face the enemy, the old devil himself, the enemy of our soul, and we can come out victorious. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Exodus 17 chapter that we read, the Lord our banner proves himself to be the Lord of absolute victory. Amalek was the first nation that attacked them when they left Egypt, and God told Moses because they attacked Israel, he, God, would be at war with the Amalekites from generation to generation until he had utterly blotted out the remembrance of them under the face of heaven. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to stay after the Amalekites until they are completely annihilated. That's what total victory is. You don't go to a surgeon and say, remove 90% of the cancer. You want to make sure he gets it all so you won't die. Now hear me, there is no substitute for victory with the Lord our banner, our combat general who offers the enemy no quarters. No quarters means we're going to finish you or you will finish us. Understand, there is no treaty line in the kingdom of God. There's no compromise. There's no truce. This has to be something that we grab a hold of as Christians. Over the years, many of us heard about the meek and lowly Jesus, but I think we need to remember this. They executed Jesus because they felt he was too dangerous to live. Have we forgotten that organized religion of that day said that Jesus was a devil, he was a lunatic, and he was to be executed with the criminals? But we know Jesus came to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Now, the first principle of spiritual combat is to identify the enemy and to stay after him until you have total victory. The Lord our banner issued the challenge of combat to the old devil, the serpent, at the beginning of time. He said in Genesis 13, verse 15, I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offsprings and hers. He will wound your head and you will wound his heel. So God is telling the old serpent, Satan, here, that in the future, Jesus is going to the cross and defeat him. And through Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we will have peace because we know absolute victory is ours over the enemy of our soul. So the Bible records for us that Jesus carried the blood-soaked cross up the hill. He engaged the enemy of our soul. He was the banner. He paid the price for our redemption, and we can have total peace when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of the victory that Jesus won. Now, let me emphasize again that there's no compromise for us. There's no truce. Jesus said as he died on the cross, it is finished, and that is exactly what he meant. The enemy, Satan, has been defeated. How many know that today? And I want you to know, when you say the name of Jesus, I don't care what situation you are in, when you know the authority that you have as a believer and you say the name of Jesus, the old enemy is going to run in terror. Because we have power over him because of what Jesus Christ did. And we need to act like victors today in Jesus' name. We need to take the initiative and be on the attack. Now, when you look at the book of Ephesians, there are seven pictures of the church. Their church is represented as an assembly. It's represented as a body. It's represented as a masterpiece of God. It's represented as a family. It's represented as a temple and a bride. And it's also pictured as an army. Now, notice that last picture as an army shows that the church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual fighting force. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 says this, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which is boundless might provide." He provides. "Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successively to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil." And that stand means to draw a line. It means to fight. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:12 says who we are fighting. Ephesians 6:12, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Hear me, parents. You are in a fight for your family, for your sons, for your daughters. He's trying to put chains around their neck. He's trying to deceive them and drag them into every despicable circumstance that will ruin their lives. And I know what it's like over my years of ministry, and I know what it's like even in my own family members, what can happen. And Satan is out to defeat you. And you cannot defeat Satan with positive thinking. You're going to have to learn what it is to come against the enemy to claim your family for Jesus Christ. We are up against a sworn enemy that he's out to kill each one of us spiritually. Listen to John 10:10. "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows." Think about that. It's not just enough, but God is there in abundance. Amen? All right. Now, when we look at this situation in Exodus, the 17th chapter, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and Amalek, who was the grandson of Esau, is confronting them. And so you see this rivalry between Esau and Jacob years later through their descendants. This is Israel's first war. And how are they to respond? Are they to make a truce? What are they supposed to do? Now, Israel didn't go to God and say, "Shall we go along just to get along? All they want to do is kill us. Is that all right?" Moses built an altar, and he called the place, "The Lord is our banner," which also means the Lord is our victory. Look again at Exodus 17:16. "The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And 17, verse 14, "I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens." God is saying, "I'm declaring war against this guy and his descendants till they are no more." He didn't even want the archaeologists to find anything. Now, does God mean what he says? Listen to 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3. "One day Samuel said to Saul, I anointed you king of Israel because the Lord told me to. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I've decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came out of Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." Now remember, I want to emphasize this. This is a spiritual application. When we look at illustrations of what God did in the Old Testament, it applies to us today. So, 900 years after the children of Israel confronted Amalek coming out of Egypt, God, through the prophet Samuel, said, "You destroy everything. Don't leave anything. Don't spare them." Now, does that sound like compromise? No. It sounds like there's no substitute for total victory. When King Saul failed to annihilate the Amalekites completely, and he kept some of the things, which we're not going to go into it, the prophet Samuel said these words, 1 Samuel 28:17 through 18. "The Lord has done just as he said he would. He has taken the kingdom from you and given it to your rival David. The Lord has done this because you did not obey his instructions concerning the Amalekites." Now in 1 Samuel 15, verse 33, we see that they brought the king of the Amalekites before the prophet Samuel, and he took his sword and hacked that king to death. Now that's not religious tolerance. Samuel knew what God wanted. He wanted total victory. And God would never ask you to do something unless he was there to help you, to give you strength through that situation. Now, the word for banner is translated as pole, an ensign or a standard among the Jews. It was also a word for miracle. As an ensign and standard, it was a signal to God's people to rally to him. It was a sign of deliverance. It was a sign of victory, because we know, even as that song was sung, he is the miracle-working God. Amen? Now, let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ, our banner. Isaiah 11, verse 10, the first part of that verse. "At that time, the new king from the family of Jesse will stand as a banner for all peoples." And then Jesus came to the earth and declared in John 12, verse 32, "And when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." What was Jesus talking about? He's talking about the cross. Hear me. We rally around Jesus. He is our joy. Jesus lifted the banner, and the sign of the banner being lifted is the sign of an army that's advancing in conquest. Now, in early history days, we've seen this. I recall in Iwo Jima, they had this picture of five soldiers with the flag in the sands of Iwo Jima. And what this was saying is, we have landed, we are here, and the ground is ours. Hear me, Jesus Christ planted the flag at the hill of Calvary, and now because of what Jesus accomplished, the ground is ours. Do you see what I'm saying? We have victory. We know our hope. It's in Jesus Christ. We have the miracle-working God that is on our side. Psalms 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it." That's our all-powerful Lord and King. Now, Jesus has given us, and I'm going to repeat this again and again, authority and power. Jesus is saying, "I don't want you as a Christian just to have partial victory. I don't want you as a Christian to be lukewarm. I don't want you as a Christian to doubt your salvation. I don't want you as a Christian just to get along to be along with everyone else. But as a Christian, to realize who you are and that you can combat the enemy of your soul and raise the banner high and win the victory for your home, your family, wherever you are, he is with you. Make the devil sorry he poked up his head. Beat him with the club of the Holy Spirit, and let the power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and through a life of prayer bring change, because the Bible says to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Grab a hold of that, Christians. Now listen to these words from the Living Bible in Psalm 64 and 5. I like this. "But you have given us a banner to rally to. All who love truth will rally to it. Then you can deliver your beloved people. Use your strong right arm to rescue us." Now, I want to look at some symbolisms of the Lord our banner. Number one, the Lord our banner is the point of unity. The Lord our banner is the point of unity. In military history, when a leader was about to gather his troops for war, he had the banner hoisted and every man rallied around that standard. In history, valiant men fought around that banner, and the commander would stand on the hill and he would see, is the banner still up? Is that flag still flying? And I recall seeing such movies as Gettysburg in the Civil War and people fighting around that banner. And as long as that banner was up, there's still a possibility of victory because they're still fighting. But whenever that banner went down, it meant the company or that regiment or that division was in trouble. When that flag went completely down, it was utter defeat. So in history, men, valiant men, fought around the banner to defend it was a must. And as long as a flag was up, victory was a possibility. Let me stress this point again, that Jesus Christ, our banner, is the point of unity for every soldier of the cross. And we got to remember we're a soldier of the cross. And the point of unity is Jesus Christ. Now, there are about 200 divisions of Christianity around the world. Now, we know that they all can't be biblically right. But hear me, the Bible is the only right way. Truth is not what I say it is. Truth is not what you say it is. Truth is not what a teacher or a preacher says it is or an evangelist. Truth is what God's Word says it is. Amen? And that's what we need to live by, and that's what needs to be taught and preached like we do here at New Hope. Some denominations believe you can only be baptized in Jesus' name. A lot of other denominations believe that you're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit like we do. And some feel that you're just sprinkled and baptized as a little child. And then there are some that feel you need to be dipped three times as if going down that many times is more spiritual. If that's true, then friends, I know a lot of so-called Christians that need to be really dipped. I wasn't going to say it, but it came to my mind. Years ago, when we pastored down in Harlan, Oregon, by Blodgett, Oregon, close to the coast, our first church together, we had a baptismal service on this one particular occasion, and it was in a kind of a big creek, and there was a nice big spot where we used as a baptism, and my Sunday school director and I were the ones baptizing, and he was bigger than I. And we had this young woman named Faith, and she got in the water, and I talked to her. She gave her testimony, but I could tell her she was a little bit apprehensive. And we said, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we put her under, and she panicked. She got out of her grip, and here she was under the water, and we were trying to fetch her out of the water. I think probably she's more spiritual today, but anyway, finally we got her up. She was coughing a little bit and kind of half embarrassed, but she really got a good dose, and a lot of Christians need more than that. Okay. Okay. Now, we can't rally around communion either, because some churches just go through a form. It's just something they do. There's closed communion, there's open communion, and there are some that have no communion, so we can't rally around that. We can't rally around miracles. Jesus healed one blind man with one touch, and he was healed. Another blind man, he healed with two touches. Another one, he put mud in his eye. He spit on it, made a little ball, put it in his eye, and he was healed. So today, we could have the church of the one touch, one touch, the church of the two touch, and the church of here's mud in your eye. So when somebody says we need to cooperate more with each other as churches, combined service is not always the answer. But being in unity to reach the community for Jesus Christ, that is the answer. Over the years, 25 years, I have met with ministers in the community and we prayed together. And we have a number of us that meet on Tuesday mornings and we pray. And believe me, we have some differences as far as doctrinal beliefs, but one thing we believe, We all believe in Jesus Christ, that he died, he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and that we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We have a Wesleyan pastor, just a man of God, Nazarene pastor, an Assemblies of God pastor. We have pastors that really love the Lord. We don't always maybe agree doctrinally, but one thing we do, and we need to together believe. You may have difference of belief, but you got to know that Jesus Christ is the answer. You got to know that there's the enemy of our soul. You got to know that we can overcome the enemy because of the authority we have as a believer today. Amen? So what we need to do, we won't unify around doctrine and philosophies maybe, but we know that we're brothers in Jesus, and to the cross, we are brothers and sisters. We're an army, and that's our standard, Jesus Christ. Are you weary or faint? Look to the cross. Are you depressed and downhearted? Look to the cross. Are you disoriented or confused about your situation in life and things you're bearing? Look to the cross and live. Are you wounded and feel like you've been dragged into defeat? Look to the cross. I don't care if you're discouraged or whatever you're going through. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where he bled and died. And he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And that's your hope today because Jesus overcome. You can overcome. All right. Number two. God has given us the banner because of the truth the banner represents. God has given us the banner because of the truth the banner represents. Remember, the banner is always the object of attack. In military history, when you walked over the battlefield, when the battle was over, there were bodies everywhere, but you noticed in one area there was a big pile. And when you'd uncover them, there was the standard bearer, and there was the flag. They had fought around that flag until there was no more alive. To the last, they kept fighting and kept trying. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ and his church have been the object of attack. Modern Christianity won't accept us. But John 15, verse 18 and 19 tells us, Jesus said, if you find the godless world is hating you, remember, it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. So listen to me. The truth is the gospel, the word of God, and the kingdom of God are under attack. How many know when you look around today? You see it. Society is demanding that we get in step with this madhouse, as it were. The asylum, as it were, all around us. The inmates have the keys, and they're trying to take us down as Christians and bring in all the New Age philosophy and everything so that we know the Word of God is under attack. But we can attack with prayer. We can attack with the true Word of God. We can attack with knowledge as we get in the Word and we know the Word. Then we know the Scripture that will help us in any situation that we are in. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, therefore I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without adversary. That's what he said. In other words, he's saying, I wait until the punch comes. I hit the devil with everything I got and make him sorry he ever stuck his head up. Then Paul said, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly held the faith. How about you? I know what it is to stand beside the bed of a loved one or someone in my ministry over the years, and when somebody has really been serving God, to see on their face that, and in essence have said the words, I have finished the course, I've kept the faith. And that's what I'm believing for my life. I know I got teased a little bit about my birthday yesterday, and my brother called me and wished me happy birthday. He says, look, you're almost 80 years old now. Aren't you getting old and decrepit? And can't walk around anymore? I said, I'm not going to be 80 until next year, so hold on. I'm still in my 70s. Get a hold of that. But no matter what age you are, Just all you have to do is realize that until the day comes God calls us home, you can look up and say, God, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith no matter what I faced. And I'm going to finish this course. I'm determined. I made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, this is a reality. If you're a Christian, then you're a soldier. And if you're a soldier, you're a fighter. And if you're a fighter, you're aggressive. Some would say, oh, Pastor Lee, I don't like that word aggressive. That's just not me. I can't do that. Listen, in the Old Testament, when David faced that incredible Hulk, did he cower? No, he said, I come against you. I'm going to take off your head. God's going to give me into your hand, and you're going to fall like a big piece of timber. In other words, in essence, what are you saying, man? You're mine because I have the authority in Jesus' name. And like the series we've been watching on the giants that must fall, we need to realize that we have somebody fighting all the giants in our life that come our way and that we can overcome because of who we serve, our great God. There was no misunderstanding of David's intent, and we need to realize that we can come in the name of the Lord through our prayers, through our intercession and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can impact a home, our family, and this Spokane area for Jesus Christ. All right, number three. Number three, we need to realize that God gave the banner to us. God gave the banner to us. For what purpose was the banner given? That we might lift it. Psalm 60, verse 4 again. But you have given us a banner to rally to. All who love truth will rally to it. Psalm 60, verse 4 in God's Word translation. Yet you have raised a flag for those who fear you so that they can rally to it. There are Christians today that haven't fought for anything, any cause of the gospel. Like Pastor Jim says, they go to church just to get out of hell. But if you're in that condition today, you need to change your ways and serve the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the banner. And I want you to realize there's more to serving God than just getting out of hell. God has a plan. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. So fulfill that purpose God has for you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure as a good first-class soldier of Jesus Christ. We have generations of Christians that when you talk about hardness, they say, well, that's not what I had in mind as a Christian. But 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, he said these words, Paul did to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, grabbing hold of the life that continues forever. If you were called to have that life when you confessed a good confession before many witnesses, you were called. Now, I'd love to have you please repeat after me this first part, and we're going to add, I will. I will fight the good fight of faith, grabbing hold of the life that continues forever. Grab a hold of that for a moment, would you? Continues forever and ever and ever. It's all worth it all. Number four point. The banner is given to those who fear God and love truth. The banner is given to those that love God and fear God and love truth. The banner isn't put in the hands of the so-called worldly Christian or the lukewarm. Jesus said, I'll spew out of my mouth. It goes into the hands of those who make a commitment to God, a commitment to be a servant of the Lord. So that's what's important to remember. Number five, the banner was given to us to be displayed. As Psalm 60, verse 4 says in the New King James, that it might be displayed because of the truth. So how do you display the banner? If someone comes up to you and says, are you a Christian? How do you react? What do you say? You know, you don't well, my mom and dad, they went to church or whatever. You know, look them in the face and say, yes, I'm a Christian. And begin to tell them about your experience with Jesus Christ. You never know what might happen because, see, the Holy Spirit is in you, right? And as you begin to talk, the Holy Spirit can start to quicken those words to that person's heart. And they can be changed by what you say and the experience that you have been through. So never be afraid to stand up for Jesus, remembering you are a soldier of the cross and you're advancing. You're winning victory. You want to see more and more people come to know Jesus, relatives, friends that you work with. So do you take time to pray? Do you come against the forces of the enemy, claim them for Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, give me the opportunity to say something that will quicken the heart of someone that I come in contact with? Just the other day, I was at Denny's, and the manager, he's only been there about 5 months since Don, who was a Christian, retired. And he was talking to me, and he knows me as pastor because a lot of the other waitresses and waiters call me Pastor Lee, but he began to talk to me about going to the Tri-Cities. Oh, I said, yeah, and what do you have to go? Oh, well, my aunt died. I was very close to her, and we're going to make the trip, my wife and I, down there. And I had been down there several times and to see her before she passed away. I said, you know, I know his name, Stan. I said, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you. I want you to know that God cares for you, and he will help you in this situation. I said, I know what it's like, because I've been by not only the bedside of people that have gone to be with the Lord in my church, but my dad, my mom, my granddaughter, and others. And I know the comfort there is to know that we're going to see them again, because we believe in the eternal hope that we have as Christians. So what do we have to be? We have to be light that sheds in the sin-darkened world around us. And there's a lot of darkness, but we need to let it shine. Amen? Amen. All right, what does the Bible say? Matthew 5, verse 17. Let's start with 14 through 16. Matthew 5. Here's another way to put it. You're to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And I thought about that. When Angie and my wife were viewing, Kagan Malley interviewing Kathy Lee Gifford, it was so powerful. Kathy Lee Gifford said, my family found Jesus Christ through Billy Graham's ministry. And she was talking about this great man of God and their experience down through the years. And she said, you know, when I began to look at his life in essence, I'm kind of paraphrasing what she said, I became bold. And everywhere I go, I tell others, Megan, about Jesus Christ. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to make heaven your home. There's eternal life through Jesus Christ. I mean, wow, right on national television, she was not ashamed to let her light shine. And that's the kind of spirit we need to have in our lives daily, where we boldly go forth into the world. We lift high the banner of the cross because we're a true Christian soldier that's not afraid to let others know Jesus lives within my heart. He's my standard bearer, and I'm holding up the banner high. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to raise that banner because there's no substitute for absolute victory. And I'm believing that, and I hope you're believing that for your family. I don't know what you've been going through. You may have crises in your home, in your marriage, or whatever it is. Let me say, moms and dads, you claim that child for Jesus Christ. And if you're having marriage problems, you begin to say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? I want to see us go on. I want to see redemption. I want to see the glory of God and the miracle-working power of God, because He is the miracle-working God. He can change that situation you're going through. Whatever it is, He will bring hope to you that the world can't bring. And things can come together and be reconciled because of the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And He'll guard your heart and life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Raise the banner. Amen. Praise team, come. That's important for us to remember always as we look at the Word of God, that we'll realize as Christians, all we need to know is the truth of the Word and stand on the Word in authority. And when you're going through situations, open that Word and begin to read it. Meditate on it. Read it to your children, your family. Let them know about Jesus. And if you make mistakes, don't be afraid to say, forgive me. I'm sorry. I want to do better because Jesus is going to help me. Mention Jesus in your life, in your word. Even though your children may be a little older, let them know you've changed because of what Christ has done in your life. I want you to stand together. Just before we sing the song, I just want every head bowed just for a moment. You're here this morning, and as you look at your life, you can say, Pastor Lee, I have not fought the good fight like I should. And I am facing crises. I am facing a troubled situation in my home. It could be your job, your family, your wife, your husband, your children, whatever it is. And you just say, I need prayer. We just lift it up. Yes, I see your hands. I see your hands over here. I see your hands. Yes, God sees those hands. He does see those hands. He cares. Thank you. You may put them down. His anointing, the Holy Spirit is here in our services. And that's what we want to see. So before you come to church, why don't you have a time of prayer and say, Lord, you know who's going to be in the service today. Lord, there's going to maybe be some that are heartbroken. There's going to be some maybe that are discouraged and downhearted. May they be lifted up today. May they find a hope as they're challenged from the Word, as they hear the songs that go forth. May they realize the power of God to transform and change them, because, Lord, you've done it to me and you can do it to others. Amen. We're going to sing and then we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. We serve such a loving, forgiving God. No matter what the situation in your home or family, no matter your relationship with loved ones, God is there to forgive. He's there to restore. That's the kind of God we serve. The Bible says, He that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So I want us to pray together. Somebody may be beside you that's going through a situation you don't even know, but just reach out and join hands as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And let's just pray, shall we? Together, prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, you know the situation of homes and families. Lord, you know the spiritual, Lord, life of each and every individual here. And I pray a healing. I pray a restoration. I pray a miracle. Lord, whatever it is, God, you can change things when our hearts are open to you. Lord, to receive from you. Lord, to say, forgive me, not only to you, God, but to those maybe we have offended or problems have been caused by our actions or whatever it may be. Thank you that you're there for us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we're thankful for your word that we can stand on, because you are a refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble and the time of need. So go with us this week. May this be a great week in you. May there be victories, overcoming, coming against the enemy of our soul and recognizing who we are in Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for it. And we feel your Holy Spirit, Lord, right now pervading the hearts and lives of each one right here and letting them know, dear Jesus, how much you love them and care for them. And may we go on this life, no matter how long you tarry or how long we live, that we can come to the end like the Apostle Paul and say, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. Therefore, there is a crown of righteousness awaiting me. We thank you, Lord, for that. And we bless your holy name. And everyone said, amen. You're dismissed. God give you a good week.